Hey everyone, before we get started with the show, I just wanted to jump in really quickly and tell you about Health IQ. They are the sponsors of this show and of the Wide Angle Podium Network. And I'd love to get you lower rates on your life insurance through Health IQ. Health IQ is a life insurance company that celebrates the health conscious, including cyclists. And you can visit healthiq.com/WAP to learn more and get a free quote. Or if you check out their life insurance frequently asked questions page, you can get your frequently asked questions answered there. That's www.healthiq.com/FAQ. The internet's going to tell me you don't need that www part, which is good because it's not easy to say. Just healthiq.com/FAQ. Okay. Let's get on with the show. Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 142 of Cyclocross Radio. And on episode 142, we're gonna try something a little new. It's what I'm thinking about calling the Cat 5 show. And it's only the Cat 5 show because the goal of this show is to keep it to 35 minutes or under. And it's just me coming at you in your ears. Got a couple things that I want to catch up on from last week's show with Scott Dienbach, which we can follow up on. And just to look ahead at the upcoming mountain bike first round of the Pro XCT at Bonelli Park, which is happening this weekend. Want to give a little preview of who's showing up, or I don't even know who's showing up, who may show up. We're going to look at the results from last year and see if we can glean anything about this year's race. And then a couple other things I want to touch on. A couple heartbreaking items in the news that I'd love to discuss and get your feedback on as well, which you can always do at feedback@cxharris.com. But hey, let's get started with cyclocross. You can say that cross is coming. I can say it's always here. And we're going to be talking about this throughout the year. Last week, on last week's show, at the end of the episode, I talked about an item that came out in the UCI Management Committee's press release from February 1st that really got overlooked. And what it said was that if you are going to register a UCI cyclocross team, the new rule is going to require that first it has a minimum of 3 riders. I believe that was already the rule. And then this next language that says including at least 1 woman and 1 man to ensure their diversity. And I put this out there and then, you know, it got a little bit of discussion. And then I went on Twitter and said, hey, you know, if you missed this in the last podcast, go listen to it. But also, here's what's happening. And here is what this proposed rule is that we'll find out what actually happens when the rules come out in July. That different from last year, that now there is this requirement that you have to have a dude on your team, even if you're an all-women's team. And a lot of the feedback that I got on Twitter was, well, this isn't a change. That's what the rule has always been. That was sort of the first comment. So I was like, okay, is that right? You know, because I didn't really at the time go back and look at the original rule. Well, now I have done that. So let's take a look at that original rule. It's 5.5.001. In the UCI rules, and it says a UCI cyclocross team is an entity consisting of a minimum of 3 riders, each of whom must be of the age of 19 years old, as defined in Article 5.1.001, which is cyclocross age. A UCI cyclocross team, this is the important part, a UCI cyclocross team includes men and women riders, and a minimum of 1 woman. There is no minimum of one man listed in the current rule. And that's the change. You can maybe say, well, it's implied there because it says it consists of men and women. But if that were the case, then it would not need that extra clause right after it specifying that there has to be at least one woman on your team. And this was interpreted, and I think rightfully so, that if you wanted to have a team that was all women, the rule just said that teams are for men and women. They can have either men and women on the team, which is a requirement, or they could be all women. There was nothing in there that said that you, A, could have an all-male team, or B, could had to have a man on your women's team if that was the intent of the organization you wanted to create. So that's why this language looked innocuous at first when it came out in this February memo. But if we dive deeper into it, there is a point being made here with how this is worded, you know, saying that it has to have a minimum of at least one woman and one man. And then at the end of this, to include sort of this twist of the knife in there to say to ensure diversity, which you can read to say the UCI is saying we have to have men on these women's teams to ensure diversity. So that led to the second sort of wave of comments that I got from men, because no woman on my Twitter feed, even though they commented, said this, was that, well, what's wrong with that? If you really want equality, you should have men and women on the same team. And it's hypocritical then to say that you want to have an all women's team and say that you can't have an all men's team. That's not fair. And I want you to take a look in the mirror if this is what you believe. I want you to take a look in the mirror and say, am I truly a cycling fan? Have I truly followed the history of not only cycling, but of sport and maybe the world at large? What we are trying to create here, what I hope is trying to be created here, is a system in which women and men get to a point where they're treated equally. We're not there yet. We just saw it last week. What was it? Strade Bianche? You looked at the women's payout. It was 1/14 of what the men got for winning the race. We're not there yet. The races were the same as far as excitement goes. We've seen from cyclocross that the races as far as who's watching can be equal. So the pay isn't equal. And because of that, the opportunities aren't equal. So by saying that that it's fair to have a man be on a team that's meant for women is crap, because the opportunities for women to race and be full-time racers are much fewer than the opportunities for men. So that if you started a team, and believe me, being in the cycling industry for as long as I had, I can tell you that the first thing everybody is going to scream is that we don't have money. But if somehow that you have found that money, you have found that resources to have a team of, let's say, only three people, and they are going to be three women, and then you are told that, okay, well, you have to take a third of those resources and hire a man. Well, that's not helping equality. That is basically taking away a job from a full-time woman pro racer. All of that being said, and maybe we can take some credit for this. I don't know. I don't want you to have to call an EMT because I injured myself patting myself on the back. But after we had this discussion online, after we sort of shined a light on this language. What I'm hearing from people now involved in this, we'll call them sources if you like, is that the UCI is like, whoa, hey, you know, just everybody take a deep breath. They are allowing for exceptions to this rule. At first, that wasn't happening. The first thing that I heard back was that there was going to be more information sent to teams in May, and then they had to register their teams. That included, you know, minimum of one male and one female by the end of July. Now, what I'm hearing is a clarification of that you may submit an exception to that rule, so that if you wanted to have an all women's team, that would be okay. I'm assuming an exception to the rule that you can have an all-male team hopefully will still, in the name of diversity, be declined. But, why set up a system? Why add that extra layer of bureaucracy? Just make the rule that you can have an all-women's team. Then you don't have to go through this whole exception process. Are you going to turn that down, UCI? If somebody says, I want to start this pro UCI cyclocross team, are you going to say, and it's going to be all women, can we please have an exception? Are you going to say no? If you're not, don't have it. Just make the rule that it's you can do this, and then you save yourself some time. I know that's crazy speak, but that would be my solution to this, is you don't have to have an exception to the rule. You can just make the rule. So that's where we're at with that whole controversy that hopefully turns out to be nothing. But it also, it brings up a follow-up point, and it's something that, you know, from following the sport, we love, because it's something that we can always talk about when the season starts, and in August and September, and some of these things when, you know, people are starting to think about cyclocross again, unlike you and me, cyclocross friends, where we're thinking about these things all year round. When people are starting to think about these subjects again in August, in September, and October, and we say, hey, remember, there's this rule change that happened, and they're like, whoa, when did that happen? I'm going to give you the advanced warning now. You should just go into your iCal or your Google Calendar or whatever it is that you use, and just mark for July that's when the new cyclocross rules are going to be announced. It happens every year in July. And then in September, they're discovered. As if the UCI was trying to pull a fast one on everyone. But July, that's the time. We'll talk to you about those first then, and then everybody can forget it, and then, you know, it's always good excitement to get the season started again. But those are going to happen in July. That's also, right now, people are asking where they can find the language on the new World Cup staging. It's not out there. It doesn't exist yet. Again, this is just something I've been told is going to happen, and that language, just like the team language and any other rules that they may come up if they're going to redefine what a 180 turn is again, that's all going to happen in July, and we'll come back and talk about those things again at that time. When I did talk about the World Cup staging, one of the things that I sort of half joking, but, you know, maybe this could happen. Maybe this is some of those, one of those thinking outside of the box ideas that I know you all will hate, but I talked about how mountain biking is staged by World Cup points as well. And then you have a short track race the day before to determine that front row of racers. And I said, well, hey, maybe cyclocross needs something similar. Maybe we need some sort of, if we're going to not go by UCI points anymore and just go by World Cup points, maybe we should give an opportunity for some racers who may not perform as well, or maybe at a disadvantage and all the way in the back of the pack if they, you know, aren't racing World Cups. Maybe, you know, somebody like Stibar who wants to come back and race, and give them still an opportunity to get in that front row similar to what World Cup Mountain Bike does with the short track race. And we actually got a letter from one of our viewers who had an idea for this. So let's get into that. This is from Joe. All right. He says, nice show. He says, hello, CX friends. Nice show. Number 141. Thanks, Joe. I too like the short track addition to UCI MTB. Fun to watch and pretty fair way to grid the front. For CX, I'll toss this out here. A one lap qualifier. Use a short interval like 10 seconds to start people off. So you go your fastest, highest ranked rider goes last, and then so your slowest or lowest ranked in the UCI would be going off first, and then you give them like a 10-second gap, and then send off the next rider. So almost like a time trial where, you know, you were seeing riders overtake other riders. It says, so 40 riders went, it's just under 7 minutes of starting time for 40th to first, you know, plus or minus 8-minute lap goes by under 20 minutes and shouldn't really put too much of a burden on a racer's legs. It's almost like openers the day before, you know. And he says that it would be great. You know, you get this sort of this kill point spectacle where you have somebody like Matthew Vanderpoel who's starting last and is just like working his way through that whole pack. You know, in the end, whatever's, I'm assuming that, now this is the part I'm not clear on. We could do two ways. Either this is going to be a time trial where everybody is still timed and then staged by the time that they get on that lap. Or maybe you say, hey guys at the back, you're that much better. You got to fight for your position. And it's basically just this all out brawl where they have to fight to get back to the front or they're starting second row. That would actually be pretty cool. I would pay to watch that, and that would make for some great TV. So basically you're handicapping every rider, you're sending them out, and then you're telling your fast women at the back to say, all right, go get them. See if you can get on that front row. That could be pretty fantastic. I Joe, I think you're on to something. I like this idea. Let me know what you think. You can hit me up, feedback@cxhairs.com or on Twitter @cxhairs. And yeah, let Joe and I both know if our out of the box idea is one that you absolutely hate, or maybe you love it. In other cyclocross news, we got some good news from Wout Van Aert. He told news outlets that he's not going full roadie. He still loves racing cyclocross. You know, we get that kind of lip service from riders. You know, we got that a little bit from Stibar, and he'd come back now and then, and we got that from Bohm, you know, and he'd go away and he'd come back now and then, but it never really stuck. But Wout's like, hey, you know, look at what I did here at Strade Bianche. I got third place. Granted, that's what I got last year too. But, you know, I was the best out there for my team. I was fighting with two of the fastest guys in the world, trying to catch them from behind. You know, and he said that I attribute that success to what I had done in cyclocross. Otherwise, cyclocross skills, cyclocross training, my fitness that I'm carrying over is the reason that I'm able to do well on the road, and it's going to carry me through spring, which are the most important races for him. He's really looking for those spring classics, and that he still loves it. He still loves racing cyclocross, so he doesn't see any reason to change his schedule for next year as far as how much cross versus how much road he's going to race. He doesn't feel like he needs to. He said more isn't better as far as road races go. And then he also said the Dutch understand that cyclocross is good preparation for the road. So that's really good to hear. Not only is it great for us just with Wout Van Aert, it's also great that attitude seemed to be changing as far as what road racers are allowed to do. It used to be very stringent that if you were a road racer, that's it. You just raced on the road. And teams didn't want their riders really doing anything else. So that his team understands that that is part of his program, part of his official program, is really great. And hopefully other riders will follow suit. But good to know that we'll get Wout back on the dirt next year for most of the season. Other news in cyclocross, that DVV, the insurance company, is retaining their title sponsorship of the DVV series, which is good news. They were looking at their numbers, looking at the viewership, looking at just the success of the races over the past year and the growth of the series. Very happy with it and happy to stay on as a title sponsor. That's exciting. And then if you haven't heard the news, hopefully you had. The other exciting thing about the DVV series for next year is that they will include, thanks to the hard work of Helen Wyman, they will include a new classification in that race series. And that classification is going to be junior women. Just pretty kick ass. So there is going to be a junior women's category at every DVV race and a series, which is just unbelievable. It's something that is should be applauded, and also something that hopefully, you know, teams from the U.S. that have junior women can go over, and the USA Cycling program can support and be a part of. You know, they already looked at this, and one of the things that I think swayed the DVV to say, hey, this is something that we need to do, is that they looked at the one race that they had at Loenhout, and you look at the top 10, and six out of that top 10 were from different nationalities. So you had six different nationalities in the top 10. That's a better way of saying that. And that was important to them. You're getting that global reach. And that's great to hear, especially when me always complain about these series and that Belgium doesn't want to move and they're kind of stuck in this. If it's all Belgian, they're perfectly fine with that. They like having that insular sport aspect to themselves, that the sponsors of that are saying, holy cow, look at this. This is great. Look at all the different countries that participated in the sport at this level. That's something that we want to nurture and we want to grow. You gotta love that. And that's great for the sport. So kudos to the DVV for having that. Hopefully other series will follow suit and we'll get junior women's cycling throughout every series, both in North America and also in Europe. Okay. Viewer mail. We already had that great letter from Joe. Also, got a voicemail here that we can check in on. Let's see who this voicemail was from. Oh, no name. All right. Well, let's just play it. See what happens here. Here you go.
Hey, Bill. I was wondering if the new UCI rules requiring teams to have a minimum of one female and one male has anything to do with the return of former European U23 cycling legend Stan Yarden. Really curious what you think about this. But I don't care about what Scott and Mr. David think about it, because basically they put on a whole episode about them and all they talked about was steer tubes and headsets. So just wondering what you thought about that. Thanks.
All right. Stem Yargan. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Stem Yargan has anything to do with changes. It is great to see him back in the game, though. He's a rider that we really thought was going to be a world champion, and to see him competing again and making a comeback is something that all of cyclocross is going to have their eyes on. He is a people's champion for sure. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, go listen. This is a segue right here. Go to wideanglepodium.com. Look at the Bike Shop CX show number 43. So that's BSCX 0043 that came out at the end of January. And they're talking about stems and steerer tubes, and they named their show episode Stem Jargon, which I thought was a great writer name. So we're going with it. We're going with the legend of Stem Jargon. Seeing how he does this here in races. Regardless, listen to the show. Listen to the Bike Shop CX. Listen to all of the shows that we have to have out there to offer on the Wide Angle Podium. And oh boy, talking about the network, the WAP network, do we have some amazing news that I hope you've already heard about. But if you haven't, you need to get on this right away. The Wide Angle Podium Network. Notice I no longer say the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, because we are way beyond just podcasts. We've moved on. Podcasts are the cash cow. I can't even say that with a straight face. Podcasts are the foundation of the Wide Angle Podium Network. But they're not the only part of it. I mean, look, even my own, I got my YouTube channel up there. So we got video content in the Wide Angle Podium Network. That's one thing. Cyclocross television, that's part of it. We're going to add some mountain bike television. I'm not sure we're going to call that. I think mountain bike game day, MTB game day. That may be what we're going with. But that's going to be on there starting next week. I'm putting that out there now to make sure I actually edit it and get it up there. But we're going to have highlights from Benelli, which we're going to talk about in a second. But that's part of the Wide Angle Podium Network. And now, this breaking news. We have partnered with Roll Your Derby. And that is one of the most exciting things that we've done. You have to go back several years to know what Roll Your Derby was all about. It was a website started by our friend Luke in Minnesota, and it was parimutuel betting on cycling propositions. I'll try to explain what that means. Basically, it doesn't cost anything. You sign up for Roller Derby, you go to Roller Derby's roullerderby.com. Easiest way to do that is go to wideanglepodium.com. You can look for the Roller Derby link right up there on the right-hand side, right above the Grimpier Brothers coffee link. If you have a U in your name, we're going to support you. If you're a Rollier or a Grimpier, you're in. You're in at the Wide Angle Podium. But Roller Derby, you go to the site, create an account. If you are a Wide Angle Podium member, you automatically get 500 bonus points. So I believe you start normal people, lower level people start at 1,000, Wide Angle Podium people start at 1,500. So you're already ahead by becoming a member. That's kind of why we wanted to partner with them, so you could have a leg up on the fun. So first, become a member of the Wide Angle Podium. Click on the Become a Member there. Then once your email is in our system, when you sign up at Roller Derby, it will automatically know that you are a Wide Angle Podium member, and you'll get those 500 bonus points right off the bat. And then once you have that, and again, this is all free, those points, those dollars, whatever you want to call them, we refer to them as points, and you can start betting on cycling propositions. What does that mean? There are easy ones, such as coming up, who will win Milan-San Remo? Cyclocross friends, once the cyclocross season starts, these are going to turn over to cyclocross propositions. Right now we're in road season, so we're getting road propositions. So you say, who will win Milan-San Remo? You click on that, and then you will see all the favorites, and then you can start betting. You can see the odds. The odds will change throughout as people start betting on one person or another. That will change the odds, so it makes it fluid. But for instance, if you thought that Greg Van Avermaet was going to win Milan-San Remo, that's 20 to 1. Put in $1, you get 20 back. That's how that goes. If you think Sagan is going to win, you put in or 10 points, you get 50 back, right? So you're getting a less of a return on Sagan because his odds of winning are greater. And then you can go to the, so you make all these bets. You can make all these little bets. You can, the cool thing is it's not all or nothing. You can bet on everybody. And you can do the math and see that even if you put bets on three or four people, you can still make money off of this if just one of them wins. So that's like the sort of the straightforward bet. And then you can look at other things. You know, we have here, we have a cyclocross one. Will Wout Van Aert win a race this spring? And then you got even more crazy propositions, such as, will there be a dog or livestock related crash at the Giro d'Italia, right? So it's that. So it's the kind of thing that where you can bet on anything. We have set up that opportunity for you to bet on anything. Will an Italian win the Giro? Who will show at Milan-San Remo? Who will be the first over the Poggio? Yeah, again, I think I said this one. Will Wout Van Aert win a race this spring? All of these different bets. It's totally fun. Once you get into it, you'll love it. You can look at the leaderboards. You can get onto the Slack and we can have whole discussions and chats and go back and forth on there. I think this is really building out the Wide Angle Podium community, and it's something that I'd love for you to sign up for. So go to wideanglepodium.com, switch on, become a member. But even if you don't, just click on the roller derby button and sign up. And then we'll see you over there playing the game. I'm CX Harris. I'll probably be at the bottom of the leaderboard, but that's how things go. All right, let's talk about a little mountain biking. First race of the U.S. Pro Mountain Bike Tour. That is the Pro XCT. That's the USA Cycling classification. Pro XCT, and under the Pro XCT, it is a 9-race tour for USA Cycling. So we start March 16th coming up at the US Cup in Benelli Park. Then there's a race March 24th, another US Cup race, Vail Lake. Then we'll be at Sea Otter. We have two races at Sea Otter this year. We have an HC race, which is also what Benelli is. And then we have a C3 race on a couple days later. So there's a Thursday race. That's really the big race. And then a Sunday race at Sea Otter. And that's a lower ranked race. Soldier Hollow. I believe that's May 2nd. Missoula XCS, June 6th through 9th. The Eliminator in Columbus, Georgia, which is a World Cup. That's part of the Pro XCT. And then another one that I'm really looking forward, August 11th to 16th, UCI stage race. I guess it's Soldier Hollow, also a stage race, but the big stage race for the calendar is the Breck Epic Mountain Bike Stage Race, now part of USA Cycling's Pro XCT Tour. That's going to be awesome, August 11th through 16th. And then we end up the season on the East Coast at the Julbo Eastern Grind in Vermont, and that is on August 24th. So that's a pretty good-looking Pro XCT series that is going to start off in Bonelli this weekend. Interesting thing about the race this year, last year was much closer to Sea Otter, so that I think that may change who we see out there this year versus last year. But it was a good, sort of a good check to see where people are at. But also, it's a good reality check to know that this is really early in the season. This is March, and you're looking at September for the World Championship. So we have a long way to go. We even have, we still got a month or a couple months until we have our first World Cup race. So this is really, really early season racing. So really not, I guess we can't put too much countenance on where people's conditioning is here, but still pretty awesome to see who's going to show up and what we're looking at as far as racing. We look at like last year's results, Aaron Huck, who started out the season awesome, had the bad wrist injury and then missed most of the season and then started to ramp it up at the end and was looking good. But Aaron Huck ended up taking the win last year. Carolyn Bohe was second. Catherine Pendrell, another woman who was injured last year, missed a lot of races, coming back, I think, super motivated this year, looking at another Olympics, looking to prove that she's still just as fast and strong as she was when she was winning the world championship. So that's going to be great. I know she's going to be racing at Benelli. Leah Davison will be there, new team. It's going to be great to see how Leah comes into this race. I know that the Norco Factory team is coming down, so I'm assuming Haley Smith, who ended up fifth last year, will be there. She's a younger racer, 25 years old, and really looking to have a breakout year. And then the interesting one, sixth place last year. You know, coming off of out of the U23 field, Kate Courtney, your current world champion. So that's, you can just see, you know, sixth place in this race last year. And then just that, and this also, you know, she was coming into this last year training for Cape Epic. So not really training for the shorter cross country effort. So again, not sure if Kate's racing this year. I'm hoping she is, assuming she'll be there. It'll be good to see the world champ stripes on American soil for this first race. Sandra Walter was seventh last year. Eva Lechner, don't think Eva's going to be there since she is now a full-time cyclocross racer, although it looked like she signed on with a team to race some of the World Cups, so we should see Eva racing once we get to European racing, which makes sense because I'm assuming that she's still going to be looking for that Olympic spot for Italy. Last year in ninth place, Emily Batty, you know, same thing, you know, not the start that she wanted the season, but came on super strong by the end. I believe Batty will be racing in this one, so it'll be great to see her lining up over the weekend. Haley Batten, she's going to be there. She was 10th last year. And you know, on down the line, other names just sort of stick out. Sofia Gomez-Vichafanye, Sevilla Blanc on her new team, Jen Jackson, Crystal Anthony. Ellen Noble is not racing in this. I think Ellen's going to start at Sea Otter. But really, you know, just star-studded field. If we get those same riders coming up this year, that's going to be a sweet one. Uh-oh, we're at 36 minutes. I said I was only going to go 35. It's going to be the longest Cat 5 race out there ever. But let's quickly look at the men, see where they were at. On the men's side, winning the race last year, now a full-time mountain bike racer. He made the decision, signing on with the Specialized team, Christopher Blevins. Hoping he'll be back. Nicola Rohrbach, who spent a lot of time racing in the U.S. early on last year. Not sure if he'll be back, but he was second last year. Andrew L'Esperance from Canada. Assuming that he'll be back, along with L'Andre Bouchard, also from Canada, in there in fourth place. Jonas Lindberg was fifth last year. Peter DeSera, Sebastian Carinson, Alex Wild, and on down there. I know, guys, I'm sorry. I'm not as excited about the men's field as I am about the women's. We got so many heavy hitters on the other side, but this is going to be good racing as well. They're going to prove me wrong, and this is going to be a sweet race. Looking forward to the action on the men's side at Benelli as well. As I said, I'm going to have recaps of all of these races. I will be on site covering all the action and getting it back to you mainly through video. So check out the Instagram feed at CX Hairs and also on YouTube. If you just search for CX Hairs, should pop up there as well. I'm going to save a couple topics I have here on my list for next time. I want to get you guys out of here. Didn't know I could just talk solo for this long. I guess I could and more. So if you like this format, I'm not going to do it every week, but if you like it, every once in a while, we'll jump in here and do the Cat 5 shows to get some things that are sort of whirring around in my brain on mic. Tragic loss with Kelly Catlin. I wanted to go a little deeper into this topic. I think I'm going to wait until the next time I do this because I think it's really important. There are some touchstones that how athletes who die by suicide, how their stories are handled, and how we, with social media, process and share these stories. Maybe I need a couple more days to sort of get my thoughts really in line so I don't say anything I'm gonna that doesn't come out the way I mean it, but I definitely want to have this discussion. So we're gonna table that for now. But what I would say is that go to Velo News, read Fred Dreyer's article on Kelly and her family. He did a great job, and it really tells it shows you how complicated not only Kelly's life was, but the whole story behind what happened, from possible head injury to such a drive in life to succeed and to be the best, to dealing with depression, to everything that went on, and so much that we'll never know what went on. We can't know. We're not inside of her head. We can't know. But I really liked Fred's reporting on that. So go check that out at Velo News. And I will also say, just on that topic, a book that I don't even know if it's on that topic, is if it's related. That's what I'm saying. This is so complicated. But tangentially, if Reasons to Stay Alive by Matt Haig. Go look at that. Matt Haig, H-A-I-G. It was a really compelling book, well written. It's not clinical, yet it is a great explanation and dive into depression and what it means, what it is, how Matt Haig, the author, worked his way through it, from not being able to leave his house to having a more normal life. But it was something that was compelling to read. It's a really fast read, and I think just a wonderful book worth picking up. I wanted to do this at the end of the show. We're doing an extra lap here, but along with that book, I just want to give you another book. This is Bill's book and music club time of the show. Go check out Smoke City by Keith Rosson, Rosson. This is nothing to do with cycling. Just a fun book. Every once in a while, we need to get away from it and do something different. I know the Luddites out there hate Kindles. They want the tactile experience of having a book. I'm with you. I love having like real books, but man, the Kindle has been a game changer for me, especially with a lot of all of the travel that I do. So having that at my fingertips is awesome. But this book, Smoke City by Keith Rosson, I don't like murder mysteries and that kind of stuff. I just want good character developments and good stories. And this has it. It's just this surreal book about an artist in present day, and also who meets up with another guy who is the reincarnated executioner of Joan of Arc, which sounds just bizarre, and it's not even worth trying to explain, but go pick it up. It's a great book. It's a fun one to read and a tough one to put down, but Smoke City by Keith Rosson. And then if you want to put something in your ears that isn't a podcast, go check out the new album by Hand Habits. And then also one that I've just been loving. These are a little mellower, but really good songs and just great music. Better Oblivion Community Center by Connor Oberst and Phoebe Bridgers. Amazing album that those two put out. So go check out Better Oblivion Community Center. And then if you want something a little retro, I found the CD, burned it into my phone. Is that right? No. I downloaded all of the tracks from the CD. I had to go find a CD reader and like use an old Mac to actually do this. But Staring at the Sea, which is The Cure, a compilation, like a greatest hits compilation that they put out in 1986 that they already had this, maybe 85? They already had enough songs for a greatest hits. You think of most of you all probably know The Cure after that time. This is like more guitar driven, really just sparse songs, but that was a cool little nostalgic dive for me getting back into The Cure, Staring at the Sea. All right, I think that does it. Life insurance. If you need life insurance, please go visit our friends over at Health IQ. They are the sponsors of the Wide Angle Podium Network, and this podcast is supported by Health IQ. They're a life insurance company that celebrates the health conscious, including cyclists. What I'd love for you all to do, I'm not going to give you a long pitch on this because I said I was going to stop, and I'm going to do that in the next minute. What I want you to do is go to healthiq.com/WAP to learn more and to get a free quote. Basically, I know you all are in great shape. I know that you take care of yourselves. Health IQ wants you. They want to get you life insurance because they know you're a better risk, and they know that they can get you that life insurance at a lower rate. That's what they're all about. You're like, Bill, I don't need life insurance. It just isn't important to me right now. It should be, especially if you have a family, if you have kids, if you're thinking about your future. Life insurance is something that is not necessarily for you, but it is, because one of the things you want to do is take care of your loved ones, take care of your family. That's why you get life insurance, because you're an awesome person in awesome shape who may have things like higher BMI, and other places are going to go, oh, that's bad. But you're like, hey, I'm an athlete. The numbers are just all wonky. They know that. That's not going to be a ding against you. You're still going to get that lower rate. HealthIQ.com/WAP. If you want to get a hold of me, feedback@cxhairs.com, on Twitter @cxhairs, on Instagram @cxhairs. Thanks so much for staying with me during this Cat 5 show. Sorry it went a little long, but it's still under an hour. Let me know what you think. Hit me up, and we'll talk again from California. Goodbye, cyclocross friends.